بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone. I hope you're all well. I do apologize if it's a little bit warm in here in advance. So if you need to drink some water or catch some fresh air, please do leave and get that if you need to, inshallah. So welcome to the first introductory lesson on Arabic, inshallah, for beginners. In today's lesson, what I want to do is just introduce myself a little bit. Some of you will already know who I am, in a good way or a bad way, depending on how you perceive me. And it's an opportunity for you to also ask questions, get some insight into what this is about. I'll be honest with you as well, so I'll be quite frank with you with the expectation that is that's expected of trying to learn a language, especially a sacred language. And why Arabic is an important language you should learn. So I hope that your intentions will be good as well for that, inshallah. And maybe some, like I said, some questions at the end you want to ask as well. I'm sure you have lots of questions as well. We'll just skip the introduction for now for each and every one of you because we'll be here for another hour. But inshallah, I'll get to know you guys. Some of you already know, some of you have studied with me before. Some of you know this room because we started fiqh in here many, many, few years ago now, wasn't it? We tried to de-Salafize some of you and make you Hanafis. That's another conversation for some other time. So I just want to introduce the lesson, what it's about, so you get some insight, manage expectations. I know you're all very, very busy people. Some of you will be married, you have jobs, you have other commitments. So I'm conscious of your commitment. So I don't want to overburden you, but I want to give you a realistic expectation of what I expect from you and what you can expect from me as well, inshallah. So, does anyone have any introductory questions just before I start? I mean, I'll try and answer as many questions as I can, but does anyone have any questions before we, any burning questions that's absolutely like imperative for me to deal with? No? Okay, fine. Now, this is, first and foremost, this is not a madrasa. So, you're not here, like you're in, I don't know what your childhood experiences of a madrasa what, but judging by some of your faces, it probably wasn't very pleasant. There's no stick here. You won't be beaten into a pulp or anything. It's all driven by you, right? I'm a big believer, even though I was beaten up when I was a kid. I'm a big believer that... I'm a big believer in trying to encourage the student to take on ownership of their learning. I'm a big believer of that philosophy. So I don't go around forcing people to become Muslim or learn about their religion. I try and present my faith in an authentic way to people, even when I'm working at university. And I hope and I pray that they will then take that journey on. And my experience has been very positive. Even when I work at university, a lot of my students who are non-Muslims, most of my students are non-Muslims. Many of them have converted, not through me, but just by, you know, presenting Islam to them in a way that they can understand as well. So I'll give you some background about myself, inshallah, without bragging, but just so you know who I am, to gain some credibility and trust as well. So my name's Harun. My name's Harun. I studied, I did HIFS here in Blackwell, in Berri Darul-Ulum. I completed it there. I did the Alimiya Darsi Nizami course as well. So Alim class, I did that many, many years ago. 2006 was when I graduated, so a long, long time ago. And then I traveled a little bit between that and university. My first degree was at the University of Manchester in economics and social studies. Then I specialized in accounting and finance later on. I worked as a consultant for my sins. And then I had a sort of career change, if you like. Did a master's in mathematics and education. And then I was fortunate enough, alhamdulillah, to be given what's called a scholarship, the Jameel Scholarship, which basically means you're funded to do research. So I was funded to do, I received funding to do a PhD, which I completed, alhamdulillah, in about around 3.5 years, 2019 was when I finished the PhD. It's in the field of philosophy and religion, so falsafa and religion. That PhD is done. Then I did a postdoc, which I'm doing at the moment. I'm coming to the end of my 3-year term. which is looking at Imams in Britain, but I also lecture in Islamic studies as well. So I'm part of Cardiff University, but I'm also part of what's called CMC, which is the Cambridge Muslim College. You might have heard of it, you might not have heard of it. So I'm involved in those two organizations, among other organizations as well. So I work for a number of, or advise a number of organizations as well. I'm also involved here as a khadim. So there's a lot of demands on my time, alhamdulillah. And you'll see over the next few weeks, if you stick around, that I try and be very, very focused in how I use my time. So I'm very conscious about time management. I'm very particular about these things. There will be times, inevitably, when I can't be here. It's just the nature of my job because I have to travel a lot. And I, as you know, it trains, they're not very reliable. So I rarely get home on time. It's just the nature of the British trains, I think. And I don't like traveling by car long distance anymore. I'm getting too old for that. I'm also in the process of taking on a new project on Islamic civilization. So if you listen to me talk, I'll talk a lot about civilization studies, which is something that you don't need to worry about, but I'm big on these things because I believe that Muslims should have something to offer to Western civilization. Western civilization is going downhill, as you know, right? But we don't want it to go downhill. We don't want people to be, you know, feeling the way that they do. We want them to enjoy their lives and be prosperous. And so I believe Islam, as a Sunni structure, has a lot of answers that it can and has and will provide to not only Muslims, but non-Muslims as well. So sometimes when you talk to me privately, I'll say things that you've never heard of before. But trust me, it's in the books, right? So that's something to bear in mind as well. So that's just a little bit of my background. I do have an interest in Arabic. Many, many years ago, when we were somewhere else, before we moved here, we did start an Arabic class. MashaAllah, it was successful. One of my students will come on Thursday. So he's not an alim, mashallah, but he will come, Imran. He will come and teach you and introduce himself to you on Thursday. So you'll see a product of our Arabic course. Imran lives in Preston now, but he used to live here. I can't make it this Thursday, so I'm telling you now, I can't make it. My train gets into Preston around 9 o'clock, but that's what it says on the... we don't know when I'll get in. So rather than confuse you guys, he'll be here, inshallah. But he'll talk about his experiences. He'll teach you some Arabic as well. So you see someone who's actually studied the language as well. In terms of the course expectations, so number one, Arabic, I'll be honest with you, it's not easy to learn. But that's anything. Any subject, any field, any science that you're going to learn requires effort from you. And I will say this to you very, very frankly, the more effort you put in, the more you will get out. If you come here on a Tuesday, on a Thursday, 8:30 to 9:30, thinking that everything will be given to you and you don't need to do anything else, you can go home and watch Netflix and you can watch the Champions League or the World Cup, then you'll find it very, very difficult. That's the first thing. And that's just me being plain honest with you. Anything you want to do, you have to put in that effort. And Imran's a good example of that. So you will have to put some effort in. But the good news is that we have people, you got me, I'm usually around here, mostly on the weekends. So you can always grab me, you can say, you know, Maulana, I didn't understand this. And you know what, a lot of things you won't understand straight away, especially if it's new to you, especially if you haven't been in education for a long time. You know, you did your degree or you did your A-levels and that's it, and you hated education after that. Because most people hate education after that, right? They just do a degree, they want to just get a job. But we're not here to just learn Arabic for that sake. We're here to connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're here to connect with the Divine. And the more you learn Arabic, the more you persevere, the more your horizons will open. For me personally, one of my singular greatest achievements was learning Arabic. And even now I'm learning Arabic. Even now I'm reading poetry, I'm learning different things. I'm constantly learning. It opens up new vistas for you. It's a language that has no limit. So you'll always be constantly learning the Quran or the Arabic, and that's the end game, to get you to the Quran, inshallah, right? So remember that, and even if you don't fully get there, you'll get very close there, close to it. So you have to persevere. This room is filled right now. My experience is that this room will become a quarter of the size very, very quickly, because some of you will be like, you know what, this is just too much. But my advice to you is don't give up very, very easily. And we live in a society now where we want instant results. Right, we want everything to be you know, I need to get a degree quickly, I need to get this quickly, I need to be successful quickly. This is a lifelong journey. Knowledge, learning ilm. When I talk about knowledge, we translate it to knowledge. And you should know this, by the way. It's a very lazy translation because you can never really translate Arabic words into English. You'll see this as you'll see me struggling with this as we get more advanced. I'll be like, how do I translate that into English or any other language? Because it's very difficult to capture the Arabic word. But knowledge for Muslims is about a number of things. We learn knowledge, number one, to connect to Allah, right? To recognize Allah. That's it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You've only been created to worship Him. So knowledge for us is a gateway to the divine, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it's all about. If you're learning knowledge with me or anybody else, or learning Arabic with anybody else, but you're still not improving spiritually, morally, ethically, then you have to really think about why you're learning knowledge. And we're not learning knowledge to go on Twitter to debate with somebody or to create refutation videos and all this nonsense that people are into. We're here to raise the game, right? So scholarship, it's about scholarship. So number one, it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowledge is a very sacred thing for us. So I call it sacred knowledge, right? Something different to what you learn or what you've learned at school. We're not interested in that. The other thing with knowledge is that it's about having the right creed or aqidah, belief, right? So making sure that what you believe in, what you are convincing yourself of, truth, you have the right truth, you have truth. A big posh word, some of my friends from Hanafi studies will know, we call this epistemology. You don't need to remember what it is. This is just like an introductory lesson, right? Epistemology. Epistemology is all to do with truth. As Muslims, I fundamentally follow this philosophy. We're about truth. What is the truth? What is the truth of the matter? And Muslims have incessantly, throughout 14 centuries, pursued this. Right, so Arabic helps you to do that. When you study Arabic, you know the truth. You're able to understand what is the heart of the matter. Especially with the world, the way the world's going today, with all this, everything's fluid, and you can be whatever you want. Or else, you know, Muslims believe that there is a truth with a capital T. When we say with a capital T, you mean there is a truth. There is a truth. Unlike people who say, well, it doesn't really matter. Whatever you want to be. Muslims say, no, there is a truth. There is one truth. Right, and that is what the Quran and Sunnah tells us as well. So it's also about having the right creed, which connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is to do with your belief, an internal thing, right, that what you believe in. But because we're practical people, it's also about practice. How do we practice our faith? How do I pray namaz? How do I go about my day-to-day interaction in a way that's as close as possible to what Allah wants? Because we don't really know exactly what Allah wants. But we're trying in all our ways to practice our faith as close as we can to what Allah wants us to do and what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us about. This is practice. In modern jargon, or nowadays we call it fiqh, and you're all going to yawn because you think fiqh is really boring. Because when you were taught in madrasa, there's a bunch of rules, right? This is for, this is wajib, don't do this, don't do that, right? But fiqh for me is very important. If you know me very well, you know I'm all about fiqh. In particular, Hanafi fiqh. But fiqh is about practice. How do we practice our faith? It's also about deep understanding. Fiqh, faqah, fiqh, faqaha, faqaha, right? It also means deep understanding. Okay? Where does that deep understanding come from? Quran and the Sunnah. In particular, Quran and Sunnah. Deep understanding comes. It comes, so you need to know Arabic for that. You need to know Arabic for your aqidah. You can't debate with anybody. You can't even speak about Islam if you don't know Arabic, according to me. Keep your mouth shut. Because you don't know what you're talking about. If you don't know Arabic, don't become a spokesperson for Islam. And I say this through experience on social media and all these places. You get all these guys talking about Islam. They're making schoolboy errors. Right? If you don't know about Islam, oh, Maulana, I'm giving that one. You can't give da'wah for the wrong means, no matter how pious you are, right? Our scholars were very strict when they took knowledge from people. In fact, they would even be so strict, for example, that even if you were really pious, you were praying tahajjud, you're fasting day during the day and praying during the night, but you were not a scholar, they wouldn't acknowledge from you. They take you as an example, but they wouldn't acknowledge from you. So knowledge, it has to be done in the right way, right? So Quran and Sunnah, it's a deep understanding of the Sunnah, deep understanding of the Quran. And so this is why Arabic is central to your scholarship as well. So this is how we practice our faith. You can see the relationship here as well. The Quran and Sunnah isn't just, you know, the Quran says this, and the Hadith says that. It's about what is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually saying. So when he says, for example, that the person who misses Salatul Jama'ah, you should burn their, for example, if he says, for example, that you should burn their houses down, if you're a literalist, would you literally do that? Would you go around this area and burn people? What does it mean? What does language mean? He's basically saying something. He's telling you that if you don't come for Salatul Jama'ah without a valid reason, right, you're just lazy, then it's like you've lost everything. That's what he's saying. So you get into language theory, right? This is something advanced, but I'm just giving you an introduction here. So Quran and Sunnah is very, very important. Now, our religion is very, very deep, and all of this has developed over 14 centuries. Right from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, all the way to this today, this has been expanding. Scholars after scholars have been expanding on this tradition. What's also part of our tradition is also something called, you can call it Ihsan, you can call it Sufism, you can call it Tasawwuf, whatever you want. Whenever we practice our faith, whenever we do our religion, we do it in the most beautiful of ways as well. That means architecture, that means the way you design the Quran, the way you color the Quran, that means the way you dress, the way you present yourself, all of these things, right? The way you are. It's not just about telling people the truth, it's all about presenting the truth in the right manner as well. You could debate with someone and you could be completely right, but you're arrogant, you're talking down upon the person, you might even be insulting them, he doesn't get the message across. Right? It has to be done in a beautiful way as well. So I call this beauty, I call it aesthetically pleasing. These things are all part of our tradition. So, you know, if you want to break it down, there's theology or aqidah, there's fiqh, right, deep understanding, and then there's this one here, which you can call Sufism, for example. These are all interrelated. This is what makes up the Islamic intellectual tradition. Right? Inseparable. So you could be a good faqih, but you also need to be a good theologian. You need to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. You also need to be beautiful in your religion as well. So these things are very, very important. All of this, right at the bottom, presupposes knowledge of Arabic, grasp of Arabic. So make this intention that you're not learning Arabic just for a few weeks and that's it. You're doing this as a lifelong journey now. You're starting. You might not continue with me. I might not see you next week. I wish you all the best. No problem. But I want you to carry on studying. We should have a mentality as Muslims, as believers, that knowledge continues until we basically leave this world. Right? From the cradle to the grave. This is part of our tradition. Unfortunately, what we've done is we've said, when you get to 16 or 18, bus stop. When you get a degree, bus stop. I think that's very harmful. We should be continuously learning. And we should have a mind. We should cultivate a mind which is inquisitive, which wants to explore things, which wants to deepen the understanding of everything. Right? This is what Muslims are and always were about. At any moment in my day, there's always 10, 15 questions that I have in my mind. I haven't answered all of them, and they're always constantly, perpetually in my mind, like, I need to learn this, I need to work this, I need to read this, I need to read that. Constantly reading, constantly studying, constantly pushing the boundaries. Yeah. This is what Muslims are always about. Always about. Until recently. So, this is just a brief sketch of, like, the Islamic intellectual tradition. Right? And inshallah, over, if you stay on and we get, maybe, we don't know, our journey will take us, we'll see all of this happening, inshallah. So you're on that journey. Now, when you start learning Arabic, it's natural for you to find it difficult in the beginning. Especially, like I said, if you haven't studied for a while, if you haven't been to college or university, or you might feel like I dropped out and, you know, what am I going to understand? Now, don't be like that. Don't be that person. Don't be that guy. Nothing is impossible if you put effort into it. Right? There's no one, there's no stupid person, there's no daft person. You can learn so much if you push yourself. The brain is an amazing creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you really push it. You know, I would say that when your brain hurts after you've been studying, that means you're pushing yourself. You know, when you're like in the gym, when you go gym and it hurts a little bit, right? You know it's working on you. So the brain is like that. You have to push yourself. If you're just used to watching TV all your life and entertainment, then you're going to struggle with all of this because this you're not used to it because you've made yourself lazy. But what we need to do is make ourselves active, keep the brain active, keep it busy. And the brain actually, not physically, but it actually expands. The more you learn and the more you study, the more you read, the more you can take in. It's fantastic, what Allah created in here is amazing. Allah, it's a miracle. Like no other, the fact that you have consciousness, the fact that you can think about things, the fact that you can imagine things. Right? You have these things that no other creature has. Allah's given you this ability. Right? So don't underrate yourself. Don't undervalue yourself. The other thing is, I understand that a lot of you are busy, so you can't come every single lesson. I would encourage you to come every lesson. I do understand that sometimes you have to go somewhere. I mean, a wedding isn't probably a good excuse, I would say. Right? Unless you're getting married yourself. But you can always, if it's your wedding, you can change it. But try not to miss lessons unnecessarily. Because what will happen is you'll start, if you miss one lesson, you'll fall slightly behind. And it just becomes difficult to catch up. So keep going. If you have to miss a lesson, then try and catch up. Catch up with me. Maybe we'll try and get a facility where we can record them for you guys only. But I'm not keen on sharing them publicly because I might say something and I don't really want the public to hear it, right? Because it's like it's a classroom setting. That reminds me of also that sometimes when I say something in a class, if I make a random comment about something, like don't go around and tell people, because you know I just don't want the hassle. This is a classroom setting. It's a safe environment. So I'll say things here, which I probably won't say on a member. But that's because I trust you guys. Don't go around saying, what I said this in class, and now, you know, this is a new fatwa or something. It's just a conversation we're having. It's just a bit of banter sometimes. So don't like going around telling people and stuff, right? So that's an amana. It's an amana of just majlis. Because in classroom settings, you say things. In university settings, in my students, I'll tell them, I'll say things to them, which I probably wouldn't say publicly, right? Because it's a classroom setting as well. The other thing is, some of you might find me different to what you're used to in madrasas or from other ulama. I can't change that. I do have a number of topis on, so I do have an academic topi, which means that sometimes I get into the habit when I start talking academically, and some of the Muslims will tell me the Marana sometimes nobody knows what you're talking about. So it's just who I am. It's my habit. I read. If you ask me a question, you're going to get a detailed answer usually, right? And I don't give black and white answers. If you ask me things, because our religion isn't, we can't reduce our religion just to black and white. There are certain things which are black and white, Aqidah is black and white. But when it comes to fiqh, you'll see it's very rich, very deep as well. So we'll go through this. I'm assuming most of you have literally no knowledge of the Arabic language besides being able to read it. You can read Arabic. You should try and practice writing Arabic as well. So there are books available. I can recommend some. You can just start practicing. If you've got children and practice with them, practice the art of writing Arabic as well. Right? It's a very important skill to have. You'll find it very, very useful. If you get really good, you'll start making notes in Arabic instead of English when you're even listening to English. Because you'll find that it summarizes, it encapsulates better than what English can do. But that's an advanced stage as well. So the lessons will take place every Tuesday, every Thursday, 8:30 till about 9:15. Then we'll have some questions. This is throughout the year. There'll be times when we'll have holidays as well. So usually we'll try and coincide them with school holidays. So if you've got children, madrasa and so forth. If it happens that we need to change things, we'll change things as well. I'll try and be here as often as I can. Like I said, because I do work in Cardiff, Cambridge, and inshallah, soon I'll be also involved in London as well. So I can't always get back. So if I can't make it, I'll let you know in advance, inshallah. Or I'll try and get someone to cover for me. Right, so there'll be times when I just simply can't physically be here with you guys. We do have a WhatsApp group. I'll try and share resources on there. I'm not very active on WhatsApp anymore. Some of you will know because it just takes up too much of my life. And I've got a book to finish. I've got things to do. So WhatsApp, I don't have time to debate with people on WhatsApp anymore. I don't have time anymore. So people just, you know, if you need to get in touch with me, just call me or try and meet me at the masjid as well. There are fees for this course. And the reason being is not because I'm a capitalist and I want to make lots of money out of you guys, but I do believe in the philosophy that when people pay for something, they value it, right? So there is a fee. I'm not going to ask for too much. And I'm not going to keep it myself. What I'm going to do is, like with everything that I charge when it's dini work, when I do charge, I don't charge for stuff here in Musalla usually. I'm going to use it to buy books for myself. So because I have an appetite to read books, so I just use it to buy books. You're funding my library. And then one day I might need to buy a bigger library. So the money that you donate will go towards improving a course. So, you know, we'll try and get things set up on there as well. Also buying tools if we need to buy stuff, we'll do that. So we'll need a volunteer who will become our banker. So I'm not going to chase you for the money. I'm going to trust you to pay. So it's £1 per course, £1 per lesson. Right? I think that's a bit fair. If you're not earning or you're on low income, that's fine. You don't need to pay. So if you're struggling to make ends meet, or just give whatever you can. If you're earning, you should be paying. I know things are tough, but we need to, you know, make the course viable as well. So I'm a big believer in that, because when people have things for free, they don't value it. When you pay a little bit towards it, it shows that you're interested in this as well. We're going to go really slowly through the lesson, because for a few weeks, I need to get used to you guys. Some things you'll just get straight away, and some things will take a bit longer. But persevere, right? Keep pushing yourself. Go home. You know, you've got an internet now. You can literally Google stuff and find stuff on the internet, right? Just listen to some lessons, or I can send you some lessons. Practice stuff. If you don't get it one lesson, don't give up. Come to the next lesson. Come a bit early. Try and grab me. Try and get some buddies together. So work and help one another as well. But persevere. Don't give up, right? Because if you give up, you're not going to do it again. So persevere through this. Work hard. And remember, nothing comes without effort. I tell this to nearly everyone I meet, because the amount of Muslims I meet on a day-to-day basis who email me and say, "Maulana, can you give me the answer to this?" And usually I just get fed up after a while and say, "Oh, just come and study with me. You know, I'll give you half an hour a week. Come and study with me. I'll just come to Asr." And they never come, because people want answers. People don't want to do the hard work. But I don't sit at home catching flies and, you know, waiting for emails to come through. You have to give commitment. And some of the most successful students are the ones who are dedicated. There are very few of them in society, because most people just are not interested. They just want to have a good time, enjoy their lives. But this is the best way to enjoy your life, which is learning your deen, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll stop there before I maybe start a little bit of the lesson. Does anyone have any questions? Or there's no book per se that you need, so you don't have to get a book. There is a book that you can get if you want. Which is this one. I'll share the link, or I'll get Adi to share the link. This is a book that you can get if you want. So it's in Arabic and English. But you don't have to get a book. There's no textbook per se. I'm going to share resources with you on the group as we go through. So you get resources that you can just practice with as well. Anyone have any questions?
So what's then the, let's say, goal after 6 months or so?
Yeah, so the goals are that as we progress, I'm going to start introducing you to the Quran. So we'll start doing passages from the Quran. We'll start explaining. Ultimately, we want to get to the Quran, the Book of Allah, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate game. What I'll try and do once we get a little bit advanced is I'll start speaking with you in Arabic as well. Just so you get comfortable with certain phrases as well. So we'll start doing some conversational Arabic as well. Not now, as we move on. Or in a lesson, I'll start saying things that you'll just automatically be like, "Okay, I know what he's asking." So we'll do some conversational Arabic as well. But we're mostly learning, we're going to try and get you to the Quran as quickly as we can, inshallah. I would say, based on what you've asked me as well, that start reading the Quran in English already, just so you're familiar with what the Quran is saying. Get a good translation. Read half a page a day. Just read some English, Arabic and English. You know, on Quran.com or something. Just get the app. And just every day, just read a few passages. Read the Arabic, read the English, just so you start getting used to the divine language. Yeah. You don't have to do too much. But maybe before you go to bed, just read a little bit so you can see the English and Arabic working. Anyone else have any questions? Anyone want to leave? I should be scaring you guys. I'm not scary, I promise you. Any questions? Throw them at me if you have any questions. I think I've got tissues and just wipe yourself. Is there one at the front? Exactly. Anyone else have questions?
No question.
Smith.
Is that a curriculum that we're going to use, or is that going to be from your head?
I'll tell you what I'm doing. Is I have this in my mind. I have resources from Noman Ali Khan. So I'm going to use some of that as well, because he's quite good, mashallah. Whatever you think, but he's quite good as well. There's other resources. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring different resources together. Whenever I introduce something, this is new, I'll try and give you extra resources beyond that, just to help you if you want to read them. But a lot of it would be just me just introducing it to you. I'm going to teach you Arabic from English. So I'm going to teach you some grammar, English grammar as well. Yeah, because a lot of you will be very, very kacha when it comes to your English grammar. So we're going to do it for that, because that will help you to understand the Arabic language, because there are similarities. So you will start doing that as well. Does that help? Anybody else have questions?
So initially, are we going to start with grammar?
We're going to do some basic grammar. Vocabulary will pick up. So vocabulary, does everyone know what grammar and vocabulary is? The fuck? Grammar is the rules of how to put sentences together. Vocabulary is just the meaning of words. But we'll introduce vocabulary as well. So I'll give you lists of words that you can learn or you should learn. And I'll also give you YouTube videos that I can find online. There's so much now on the internet. If you're well organized, you can learn a lot of this on the internet as well. So I'll give you a lot of resources that you can watch as well. Anybody else have any questions?
How do you get added to this WhatsApp group?
Brother, anybody that's not on the WhatsApp group, just meet me at the end of the lesson, inshallah.
Speak to Adil and he'll put you on. If you're definitely keen on staying, if you don't stay on, then just leave the group afterwards. You won't be blacklisted, but you can. Look, it's up to you at the end of the day. I'll teach one of you. Even if one of you turns up, I'll teach you. That's my manhaj. I'm not interested in getting 50,000 students. Right? Just one student comes, he's interested, let's go. Because Imran, you'll see on Thursday, inshallah, you'll see him. And he was one of my students, alhamdulillah. Now he's very advanced. He actually teaches in a madrasa. Impressive, alhamdulillah. And he started here many, many years ago. Anybody else have any questions? Enjoy it. That's the most important thing. Learning is fun. Really enjoy it. I don't mean secular education. I mean learning. Just learning is fun. There's nothing more enjoyable than just reading books, just studying. You might find it difficult to believe, but I believe in that. If you left me a library all my life and gave me a cup of tea and a nice cozy bed, I'd happily live my life like that. I'd happily live my life like that. Right? So learning, create a passion in you to learn. Forget about your experiences at university and college and all of that. This is different. It's different. So enjoy learning as well. So don't see it as a pressure, but enjoy learning this language as well. Anyone else?
So what's enjoying Arabic?
Sorry?
What's enjoying Arabic?
Enjoying it. Enjoy it. No, enjoy that.
Translation.
Sorry?
Translation.
Yeah, translation, yeah.
What's the translation for enjoying
in Arabic? Enjoying. Yafrahu. Yafrahu. Fariha means to be happy. Fariha. So, enjoy, have life, be happy. Yeah. So, we'll teach you all of these, but don't worry about all of that right now. Enjoy. Alright, so let's do some basic English, because a lot of you will need... So I'm going to teach you through English. So, if you already know all of this, I apologize for making you suck eggs, as they say. But this will help you very, very quickly. Right, so, when we have a word, so we'll start using this quite a lot. A word, right? A word, any word. We call it kalima. Right? Kalima. Not the kalima that you learn in Madrasa. Kalima. Kalam. From the word kalam. Kalam. Takallam ma'ana. Speak with me. So we get kalam. Kalima. Right? So a word in Arabic is called kalima. That's just a general word. Any word that you use is called kalima in Arabic. Right? Now, words in English language, generally speaking, this is like a broad category. Anybody know what are the broad categories of words come into?
Lexis.
Sorry?
Lexis.
No, something more simple.
Nouns.
Somebody said noun?
Nouns.
Words?
Verbs.
Verbs? What more?
Adjectives.
Adjectives. That's a bit more advanced, but yeah. What connects? What's the name for the word that connects all these words? Pronouns, no.
Prepositions.
Like almost. Like it. So let me give you an example. Yeah.
Harun is teaching.
Right. Let's break the sentence down. What's Harun?
No.
Okay. So that's a noun in Arabic. What's a noun? Somebody tell me what a noun is.
Nothing.
A thing or
name.
A name.
Subject.
Subject. Not quite.
Place.
Person. It's a name of something or someone, right? So Harun is a noun. You need to start thinking like this, by the way, now. So when you read English, start doing this. Right? This is the first stage. So we're not even learning Arabic, we're just gonna learn English here. Right. Let's leave this for a bit. What's teaching?
Verb.
What's a verb?
Doing word.
A doing word. What are the three tenses that a word can come into?
Past, present, or future.
Yeah.
Past, present, future.
So you know when, like my daughter, she's learning, my second daughter, she's learning at school at the moment. So she's struggling with her verbs at the moment. So she just, because she gets confused in English, it's quite complicated. It's not straightforward as Arabic. So you have verbs and you have nouns. Those are two parts of words. So let's put it here, a noun. What's the third one? There's a lot more, but we're not going to go into all of that. What's that word there? Connective word. Do you know what the word for it is? Anybody know?
Conjunction.
I want a more simple word. Conjunction is too sophisticated for me. I'm just a villager. Anybody know? They usually call it particle. Yeah? Particle. So you know, words that just connect it together. The way I explain it to my daughter is like, you know, train. All the carriages, and then you have the thing that connects all the carriages together. So in English, you have these basic structures, right? So this is like a good way of teaching your kids. So, you know, on the weekend when you're bored, instead of watching Netflix, get your kid out, get your daughters out, get your sons out, get a whiteboard, and just start breaking sentences down. This is what we need to do, by the way. We're going to do the same thing in Arabic slowly, inshallah. You're going to start spotting things. So you need to start getting used to seeing that in English, right? That's a noun, that's a particle, that's a verb. We'll come to the adverbs and adjectives and all the rest of all of that. We'll come to all of that later. We have words for that in Arabic. Right? So we have these in Arabic as well. Right? So a noun is it's a name of something. Is everybody okay with that? So just practice when you go home, just practice some English sentences. Right? That can I or when you're reading something, just do it. This is quite important actually in your reading as well, just to improve your grammar, making sure you're using the right adjective, all the rest of it, all right? That's very, very important. You learn this in when you get to advanced levels at university, you've got to really be able to do this very, very well. And language is very, very important, using language appropriately. So, in Arabic, we have names for these, and I'll stop there, inshallah, and we'll just stop there, inshallah, today, right? Now, the word for now in Arabic is ism. Ism. My name is Harun. Ism. That's what we call it. That's just the word ism. Asma Allah al-Husna. Here in the Quran you have Asma. Asma basically, just on a side note, is a plural of this. Nouns. Yeah. So ism is a singular. Asma. You know, you might have a sister called Asma or somebody. Asma, names. Names of Allah subhanahu. So ism is a noun, that's all it is. You just need to remember that. Because we'll start using these Arabic words very, very shortly. Okay. In Arabic for verb, we have what's called a fi'l. Fi'l. Yeah. We call it fi'lun, ismun, if you want to be correct grammatically. Fi'lun, ism, fi'l. Fa'ala, to do something. Fi'l. And particles are very simple. Half. You know, like you say, alif, lam, mim is half, right? Alif, lam, mim, Quran. Alif, lam, mim. Right at the beginning, right? Each one of them is a half. Each one of them. That's where you get 10 new words for that. 10 new words for that. 10 new words for that. You learn the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when you say Alif Lam Mim, you get 30 new words. It's called Haf. Ism. That's all you need to know for today as an introduction. Okay. I'll give you examples of these in Arabic words, but we'll do them later on. Usually, like particles of disconnecting words, like words that I say to my daughters, words that don't make sense on their own in English. Like if you said is, his, my, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. But they're connecting words, but they're important words because they're tools through which the way I explain to my daughters, when you lay bricks, the cement that kind of brings it all together. That's important to bear in mind. We'll do one more thing. Bit of theology for you, and I will stop there. You can copy that later if you want. This is just bringing you to the Quran in the first lesson. Okay? Bringing you to the Quran in the first lesson. So, a word in the Quran. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is an interesting word. People translate it as all praise is for Allah. Right. We're not really interested in translation for that. All praise is for Allah. But I just want to introduce this word to you. Hamd, alhamd, all praise is for Allah. The word for praise is hamd. Is that a verb, noun, or a here it's a verb. It can be a verb. There's a reason why it's not a verb, because it's got alif lam before it, which is something else. But it's actually a noun for now. Right? Now there's a reason, there's a theological reason they actually made it into a noun. It can be a verb if it didn't have the alif lam. If it was alhamdulillah, then you could say potentially it could be a verb. But you see how language and aqidah all come together. You know the point I made in the previous. Belief and language is very, very important. If you don't know the Arabic language, you'll make a mistake. Why is that a noun?
Well, think about Allah.
It's a name. But if that was a verb, what problem would it create for us when you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do verbs do? Actions. Okay, so that's something. Sorry? Does it have a tense? Yeah. So you're close, you're getting hotter. Right? So what are verbs essentially? I mean, this is me philosophizing with you now a little bit, yeah? What are verbs essentially? Right? They have a past, present, and future. What's problematic when you ascribe this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You're associating time with Allah. You see, is Allah bound by time? Is He bound by time? He's not bound by time. He is a creator of time. Why is He the creator of time? How did He create time? We are bound by time. Logically speaking, this is going off slightly now, but you'll appreciate this, inshallah. You'll remember it for the rest of your life, inshallah, even if you don't come back from. When we say praises for Allah, all praises for Allah, and we use the noun, it's a theological statement. If you turn that into a verb, you're breaking aqidah here. Can you see how delicate the matter is? Just in alhamdulillah, what the Imam says. Because Allah is the creator of time, wal asr. By Allah means a qasam, by time, right? Because logically speaking, rationally speaking, mantiq, we call this, rationally speaking, whoever creates something, whoever makes something, someone made this iPad that I got here, my brand new iPad, came 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, right? The person who created it, Mr. Jobs, for example, he's not alive, but whoever made it, right? Is he bound by the iPad? Is he bound by it? Or are the producers bound by it, by its rules? Do they have to function in a certain way and be flat? They can only be working when you touch them or something. No. Logically speaking, anyone who creates something is never bound by it. They're free from that creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is above all of this, right? He's superior to all of this. How can he be bound by time? He's above time. You know, this answers a big question a lot of people have to do with qadr. You know, people say to you, if Allah knew everything, then, you know, what's the point? Right? By Allah, if you know who Allah is, He's the creator of time. How can He ever be bound by time? You as a finite little being in the solar system is trying to understand Allah who's infinite. Are you ever going to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are finite. You can only understand. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنْ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah says you've only been given a little bit of knowledge. Right? So how are you really going to grasp the eternal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going off on a theological tangent, but you can see how language is so important. It affects everything else. Right? So Allah, we have time because at some point in history, this is about physics now, Allah Ta'ala, we say Allah Ta'ala created the sun. Imagine if there was no sun, would we have time? Would we exist even? No. Allah created the sun, according to physics, we go around the sun, this is the earth. Not this close. This is Yasin. This is not ratio-wise correct, right? We go around it because we go around the sun. We have a concept of time, don't we? By virtue of the sun, because that's how we calculate time. But if Allah Ta'ala didn't, if there was no sun, there would be no time. We wouldn't exist. So we are bound by creation. We are like slaves to all of this stuff. Like we're basically living in a cage. So there's no such thing as freedom, by the way. There's freedom of speech, freedom of expression. You're not free. Everybody is subservient to something or someone. The question is, who do you submit to? Everyone. Even people who say they're liberal, they submit to a liberal world order. Everyone submits, philosophically speaking. It's impossible for you to be totally free. Zubair can't grow four hands if he wants to. Zubair can't become, sorry to pick on you, become 5 meters long if he wants to. No. You're all limited. But for us, we are, when we are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are really free. Because He is eternal. So anyway, going back to Alhamdu, if you make that into a verb in language, you make the error of making that, in this particular example, not in all cases, because Hamd can also become a verb. Hamida means praise, to praise, in the past tense, Hamida. But here, because Alif Lam, it becomes a noun. We'll learn this rule. But the point I'm making, just to give you some insight, is that the choice that you make will have theological implications. The way you choose a word, how you deploy that word, will have implications in terms of many other things as well. And that's not just for Arabic, that's for many other languages as well. So I hope that's just been an introduction. The main thing you need to know today is that words, broadly speaking, are three types: noun, verb, and particle. A noun is ism, a verb is fi'l, or fi'lun, and harf. This is all you need to know today. In the whole 1 hour, that's all you have to learn today. But I've given you some insight. Anybody have any questions? Was that useful?
Yeah. Maulana, I think we should, if one of us puts a picture of this on the WhatsApp group,
yeah,
then sure. We can learn off that. So just one person to send the picture of that.
Yeah, sure. My plan is to eventually get it all up on there, so I'll use my laptop and I'll just type on there. Eventually, I want to get that up and running, but I need to get connected and stuff. But we'll sort that out later, inshallah. So, this is how the lesson is going to be. I don't know what level you're at, so I'm going to start like this. I'm going to ease into it and then I'm going to start. Once we know who's the diehard ones, then we'll start picking up a little bit more. The next lesson's on Thursday, 8:30 till about 9:15. We finished at 23 minutes, so we finish now. But Imran will be here. I won't be back. I get into Preston around 9:00, so I won't be able to make it here. But please do attend. I'll give him something to teach you guys. He's a really interesting person because he's learnt it as a non-Molana. You know, so he's learned it himself from scratch. And he had a full-time job. He won't like me saying this, but he had a full-time job. And he used to study in the evenings, and then he used to come to namaz here and just ask me loads of questions. And you know, he was always asking me all these Arabic questions. He never told me he was learning Arabic properly first. When he studied it with me, alhamdulillah, he became very, very advanced. He's very, very, he's passionate about learning Arabic. I think he's doing some translation now, but he's just a normal person who's just passionate about Arabic. So he'll be here, benefit from him. I'm hoping to use Imran as a person who can stand in for me, but also help you guys, because sometimes I get really busy. So Imran can also be someone who will just give you that as well. But you'll learn English grammar alongside Arabic grammar with me as well. So even if you don't know what nouns and verbs and all of these things are, you'll start seeing them now. You'll start seeing them in your dreams. You get nouns, verbs, past tense, pro. But you've got to be able to know all of these things, right? So when you're reading English sentences, good articles, like, just break it down, see them happening, yeah? And then we'll start doing that. Once we've mastered in English, we'll start mastering it slowly in Arabic as well. Anyone have any questions? Who's gonna leave? Who's not gonna come back? Who's gonna stay on? Gonna try and stay on. Yeah, leave now. Who's gonna stay on? We never pick Wednesday because that's the Champions League night. So that's usually a number that drop. Depending which team you support, of course. If you're supporting Manchester United, then you're not going Alhamdulillah, I don't really watch football anymore, so it doesn't bother me. Try and come. If there's like, because I'm not really in touch with the wider world, if there's a big event, global event happening on a Tuesday, Thursday, just tell me beforehand. Like a World Cup final or something. Because I don't really know until I just come to Masjid and they're like, why is the Masjid empty? So sometimes I'm a little bit out of tune with things. So just let me know that, you know, Marana, just let you know the World Cup's on Thursday. So it might be a good idea not having a lesson. So we won't have a lesson. But I respect that as well because that's your personal time. But kind of coming, there is opportunity for more people to come. So if you've got a friend who's interested, who you think might, who's always talking about Islam on social media with everybody, you've always got that friend, right? You always know that guy who's like debating with everybody on the comment sections. Like, bro, leave all of that. Come and learn the religion yourself. Like, learn Islam yourself properly. Then you realize that all of this is bakwas. So debating all of these guys is pointless. You want to debate with the real people. You want to convince the people of Islam who really need convincing, the open-minded people. There's plenty of them out there who you can, mashallah, work with and get on side as well. That's something else to talk about. No questions? You can all go. You've got some time before Maghrib. So, inshallah, I'll see you all. I won't see you on Thursday, but come on Thursday. I'll see you on Tuesday, inshallah. Who's